99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City, and stay tuned for a very good program, back of the book, right here, right now. Oh, come on.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's probably a fairly sweaty 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And no matter how sweaty they might be. We're going to talk about a few things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about those things, some of those things, by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you can find a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen, and it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that, and you will get to this morning's radio program's web page, which we do a new one for each and every program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 180th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several different dimensions for this entire past week is: we are still holding at the gigantic total of 124 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever they're calling it right now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a local station board meeting a couple of weeks ago. It was not an ordinary one. The main topic of discussion was the Pacifica Executive Director's action earlier in that week, where they put WBAI management on, quote, administrative leave, unquote, and replaced them with a producer who is now interim general manager and interim program director. Now there is an illegally called meeting of the WBAI local station board posted online. The chair of the Pacifica National Board has posted it. Nobody from the WBAI local station board has posted it. And, you know, we're supposed to agree on when we meet, not have it imposed on us. not have it called an LSB meeting. There are a lot of different things that make this extremely questionable and illegal. In any event, the chair of the Pacifica National Board has posted it, and it's supposed to be in executive session. No one has even told us on the local station board what this is supposed to be about. We only found out about it from a notice that the meeting system that Pacifica has notified us of this meeting. So we'll see what happens with that. And if I'm reading it right, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on their CDC website seems to be saying that the death toll in America for the past week was 148, which is a slight uptick from the previous week, but it's still much lower than it had been. This hot weather should keep the virus down for a while. Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point. We are thinking about getting our booster shots, but you can't get the new ones that they'll have in the fall if you've had one of these boosters less than a few months earlier. So we got to make a decision to either get them very, very soon or skip them and hope that the warm weather makes it so that it's not really necessary, and then get the new boosters, which is going to be a different and newer and supposedly better booster shot in the fall when you also get flu shots.
I know the CDC only recommended that people 65 and over or people with compromised immune systems get an extra booster shot.
Well, we're in one of those categories.
Yes, and I tried to schedule an appointment and I had a very hard time and nothing ever happened from it. So I really don't know what to do either.
Probably this week we should look into it and see what the hell we're going to do about this stuff. And a program note, we were not supposed to be on this morning. We were supposed to be preempted for the 52-week schedule, which former management had set up, which meant that we would be preempted for this time slot, and some special would be put on to try to raise money. And however, the new management has said that the entire 52-week schedule is gone. So we are now on. If you go up to my website at glib.com and you look at the back of the book page, which you can access from the front page of the website. Also, I think I put it up there when I put the archive blurb up there. And when you look at that, you will see our new schedule, which basically has no preemptions in it and goes every single week until the end of this year. That may be a bit optimistic. We don't know. This could be the last program for all we know. Who knows what's going on? Things are, the kindest way to put it is fluid. Well, merry summer. Pickles of the North and I celebrated the summer solstice this past Thursday afternoon. Yes, summer is my favorite season.
Summer is not my favorite season, especially when it feels like this. Oh.
Yeah, we're a little warm right here.
Well, it's also the poisonous air. And this, of course, happens all around the world. So it's part of climate change and we have to do what we can to change things as much as possible so that things will be better for everybody here and all the everybody's that come after us. But right now, it's hard to think. We don't have air conditioning. We have fans. And usually that's enough, but this, the heat dome is a real challenge, I must say.
Yeah, we're actually doing something we don't generally do because it is so awful. And Radio's Pickles of the North is from the North Pole and isn't used to this kind of weather. And we usually don't run the fans when we're recording, but this time we are because otherwise I think one of us is liable to just collapse in the middle of the radio program. So there we go. I have measured it, and the fan noise is down at about minus 40 or 50 dB, which means you probably can't hear it. You will here and there probably hear some jackass revving up a motorcycle or something out in the street. That comes in much louder than the fan does.
That's actually a car, and the same people have been doing this throughout the pandemic.
That's a car, okay.
Yes.
So he has an even bigger engine to make more noise with, and the cops don't stop this. I've said before that, in my opinion, there is, in general, a sort of sub rosa police strike going on in New York City, where a lot of things the police say, we're not going to get involved in. Now, if you get, like, you know, a murder and somebody blows somebody away in the middle of the street, yeah, they'll show up and deal with that, of course. But if you have things like a guy who drives around making tons of noise with his car, they don't do much about that. They did at one point crack down on those large gangs of jackasses who would have like 40 or 50 of them on various vehicles, ranging from motorcycles to illegal mopeds to electric scooters of all sorts. And they would run around and make a lot of noise in the streets because, well, it started in the pandemic and the streets were fairly empty a lot of the time, and especially at night. And they said, hey, we can go out and play now. And this is what they were doing. But I think some of them got their vehicles confiscated by the police. And I think a whole lot of those have been turned into junk. So that's a good thing that they get rid of those vehicles. I don't like those things. You also have these damn trucks that they're making, these electric delivery trucks. And they're like almost the length of a car. They're like 4 or 5 feet wide. And these jackasses are driving them on the sidewalk. Go to 18th Avenue in Brooklyn sometime and look around. And they're usually one company has orange electric trucks, and their guys are just driving at a pretty damn high rate of speed on the sidewalk. And you got to be careful, you know, that these morons don't run you over. Then the police don't do anything about that, of course. Jesus Christ. Anyway, yes, get off my lawn, you kids. But we have this current very hot season happening. And, of course, it'll be worse for the southern hemisphere because the Earth is a little bit closer to the sun during the southern summer than it is now during the northern summer. And so that can help a little bit to put some extra heat into the atmosphere and into people. So we have this situation where the whole world is getting significantly warmer. And, you know, some people are still saying, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. It's not happening. Climate change, patooey, that's just something the Democrats made up. And, you know, it's not, of course. Climate change is happening. We also have places in Europe. Where in Europe, it's typically pretty cool there. In fact, were it not for the Gulf Stream taking warmer water from the tropics in the Americas and pushing it up into the west coast of Europe, without that, Europe would be much colder now. In fact, their glaciers would not be melting at the rate they're melting at. Well, now, I don't know if they have to even worry about the Gulf Stream anymore, and they don't have to worry about glaciers because they're having these record heat waves in places like Vienna.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Pretty soon, you know, the Alps are going to start melting. All the ice is going to start melting off the Alps. It's really already quite noticeable. And meanwhile, you've got people like Trump and others who have in the past claimed, oh, there's no global warming. It's make-believe. It's made up. There's no such thing. And I remember some years ago there was a blizzard somewhere, and this woman made a video that really went viral. And she's showing all the snow happening where she is, and she keeps saying, "What about the global warming, Obama? What about the global warming, Obama? Where's the global warming, Obama?" And she kept doing that. And yeah, as if it can't ever snow. Well, maybe eventually where she lives, it will be like that. However, by that time, everybody will probably be dead from the heat from the summer. So, you know, it's amazing that. And then you've got like Florida. Are the officials in Florida still saying there's no such thing as climate change? They're getting crushed a lot more than usual. The hurricane season is predicted to be really, really bad. And Texas also is full of right-wing people denying that there's climate change. They're getting hit pretty nicely as well. So these various states that are not in a good position to deny that there's global warming happening are seeing the consequences of it right now, not when they thought it would happen, you know, decades from now. They're getting it today. And, you know, in a sort of confluence of organized superstition and climate change, right now, 450 people have been found to die at the Hajj, which is the Muslim holy thing where you go to Mecca and you do various kinds of rituals. And I don't know, it's supposed to do something to their God. And so people go to this, and right now they've got 450 dead from the heat. You know, if you're going to go to Saudi Arabia, maybe the summer solstice week isn't the time to do that. The temperatures there are just too high, and there are massive crowds, and you got to say, what are the logistics of getting water to all of those people? And you can see they've got these avenues that they go marching on, and it's just solid. It's like the subway at rush hour. And people are going to run out of water pretty soon there, unless they're carrying like 5-gallon jugs with them. Maybe some of them do that, but not everybody's going to be able to carry a 5-gallon jug. And they're going to dehydrate, and they're also out in the sun. And yeah, you can have a hat on and stuff, but you're still in the sun, and you're still going to get extra heat directly from the sunlight. So yeah, they've got 450 dead from the heat in the Saudi Arabian desert as people do their religious thing. And this is just all over the world. We're not even going to try and count up all of the places that are saying, oh, we're having this record heat and it's doing all this damage.
India, Pakistan, Indonesia, I mean, just terrible, terrible for the people there.
Yeah, they're getting monstrous ones,
yes,
too. They're getting stuff like Saudi Arabia. They're getting something like 113 degrees in some cases. And in some cases, I think it's a dry heat because some of these places are very dry. I mean, Saudi Arabia is pretty dry. And it's some of them, of course, have lots of humidity. In India, a lot of the places have a great deal of humidity. And so that makes it more annoying. It's the thing that makes you, the heat and humidity together are what make you languorous, and you just aren't going to function well. Hell, I'm having a hard time seeing right now from the heat. Yeah, that can happen. So, wow, here we are, and what are we doing about this? I mean, we're getting this now, and this is bad, but there are people who are in their teens and 20s who are going to be experiencing whatever happens at the other end of this century. In the year 2080, plenty of people who are teenagers now and in their 20s are going to still be alive, but they'll be elderly and they will be looking at probably really tremendous heat and maybe more than heat. There may be parts of the world, maybe even parts of America, where people can't live anymore. And again, as we've mentioned, there's all this stuff about the border. A significant part of what's happening at the border is that people who lived by subsistence farming in Central America are streaming into America because they can't farm anymore. The heat is killing their crops. And if they can't, those crops are what they eat. They don't go to the store and buy food. They're growing stuff to eat. And when they go outside and find that they're, I don't know, rutabagas or corn or whatever the hell they grow, and their beans and all of these crops are just withered, you know, they can't just say, gee, can I get credit at the grocery store? They can't do that. That was their food. Their food is gone. Well, you know, what else are they going to do? If they stay where they are, they will starve to death. So they start migrating. And I guess Mexico itself isn't all that inviting for them. So they come pouring across the southern border of the United States. So the global warming thing is, it's amazing to me how people can still deny it. People have been talking about this since the 60s. I remember reading about it in the 60s. And it's definitely here now, and it's definitely going to get worse. Evidence points to it getting much worse. Speaking even more of organized superstition, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry signed a bill into law this week that mandates that all public school classrooms in Louisiana must prominently display the so-called, quote, Ten Commandments, unquote, on their walls. He gave a little speech about it, saying that all laws came from this. I guess he's never heard of Hammurabi. Yeah, Hammurabi showed up long before any of the fictitious Ten Commandments showed up. Their legal code written on clay tablets in cuneiform, and we have the Code of Hammurabi. And so it predates the alleged exodus, during which Moses supposedly got the Ten Commandments from dog spelled backwards. Hammurabi predates that. Didn't this governor learn that in school? Maybe instead of posting their religious junk on the walls, maybe they should teach the kids history in Louisiana. Because clearly they weren't doing it when Governor Landry went to school. So much for the state of education in Louisiana. The Supreme Court struck down something similar regarding a monument with the Ten Commandments on it set up on public property in front of a courthouse years ago. But I'm sure this Supreme Court is going to go along with this Christian nationalist agenda. And that's what this is. Other states have also got this same law. Some of them have passed it in the past, and some of them are going to pass it now because that'll please Trump, and they all want to please Trump. This is organized superstition on a rampage. By the way, you know, I went to Catholic school, so they didn't have it posted on the walls. They did teach it. We had the Ten Commandments taught to us, and the first three are about people who control religion, controlling other people. The first three commandments are about setting up people who are priests or popes or some other goddamn thing to control the rest of the population. We are the people who are told what to do by dog spelled backwards, and that deity tells us what to do, so what we say comes from the deity. You must do what we say. And now we totally control every last bit of your life. So this is what the first three commandments are about anyway. Now, the rest of the commandments are, it's been said, are about people's relation to society. And to a degree, that is true, because long ago, when civilization was cranking up, people were just starting to come together in cities. So what happens is, when you have civilization, more people get together and it is a bit less tribal, because you could end up with more than one tribe going in there, and they're going to be not exactly precisely the same unless one tribe totally conquers the other and forces their will upon them. And so cities grew up, and people needed to be told things as, okay, we got to have a law. You can't just do whatever the hell you please, you know, like this jackass who's driving this car back and forth outside. So there are laws like you can't steal. Murder is frowned upon. Trying to get your neighbor's wife is problematic. Do not lie about things like, you know, bring somebody to a court and lie about what they did, because that's a problem. Of course, there's the one the kids all asked about. Teacher, what's adultery? Because in Catholic school, you're teaching grammar school kids the Ten Commandments. And one of the things, you know, they see, okay, honor thy father and thy mother. And, you know, they understand that because they know you better obey us or we'll beat the crap out of you, kid. So the kids understand that garbage. They can understand things like not stealing, not committing murder. And the coveting is kind of has to be explained. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. I'm doing this from memory. I'm not looking at it. I'm remembering this. That means, you know, that sort of fits in with stealing, but it mostly means don't, you know, start plotting to steal his crap. Even plotting to steal his crap is a sin. Plotting to steal his wife. Well, the kids knew what wives were. Our parents were married. We were in Catholic school. If your parents weren't married, you probably weren't allowed in. And so, at least early on. And so the kids would have a grasp of that, and the teacher could explain some of this. But then it came up, teacher, what's adultery? Uh-oh. And so this became, I mean, one of the things we got, I guess this was probably in the first or second or third grade, was, well, this is something for later in life, and you don't have to even worry about that right now, which is true. You know, six-year-olds are unknown committers of adultery, as far as I know. I don't know, maybe there's some six-year-old who's going after somebody else's wife. I don't know. Could happen. In any event, this was one of the great things, and because the word adult is in adultery, they were able to spin it so that you got to be an adult to even understand this. And little kids are told often enough, you wouldn't understand. And so they get away with it. But it's always the question, what's adultery? And now these kids are going to be looking at it in Louisiana, and they're all going to be saying, what the hell is adultery? The older kids will probably tell them pretty fast, hey, kid. You want to know what adultery is? Give me your lunch money and I'll tell you what adultery is. And that's how school works. That is education, okay? That's how it works. You get educated by the older kids in grammar school who want your lunch money. Of course, this presumes that the older kid has a clue about adultery himself. But yeah. So, yes, we have the Christian nationalist agenda is being forced on us, and they want to take over this whole country, and I think the Supreme Court is going to go along with them, and this is going to be terrible. This is the Civil War happening, folks. This is the Civil War, and we aren't quite to where any states are declaring that they're seceding from the Union. We aren't quite fully at where organized groups are getting together and firing upon other groups or the government itself yet, but we're heading in that direction. This is the beginning of the Civil War, and we're in it. Oh, this is terrible stuff. The Christian right wants to destroy America. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org.
Well, R. Paul, 70 years ago, on a June day, much fresher and lovelier than any we've had here so far, mainly because we weren't that far into global warming yet, and it took place up north. My parents got married 70 years ago. Both my parents are children of the Depression, the Great Depression, so they got married. I was talking to my dad, and he said, "Oh, I can't hardly believe it. It's like a dream." And I would think so. He's in his 90s now. They both are. So I imagine it has a dreamlike quality. Both my parents had kind of rough lives growing up. Each of them lost a parent when they were still kids. My dad had it worse because it was his father who died. And yes, we always remember one of his brothers saying, "I don't need to read Angela's Ashes. We lived that." And they did. They lived in poverty, where my mom, they always had food to eat, so that was like a big advantage growing up in the Depression. Now, both of my parents worked from a very early age because they had to help to support the family. My mom left school after the ninth grade and went to secretarial college, and she learned stenography and all that kind of stuff you need in an office. And my dad, he started working when he was 12 in a Italian grocery. My mother, after she graduated from secretarial college, she ended up getting a job right away at one of the big banks in Canada. And she became an executive secretary for one of the vice presidents of the bank, not because of her experience, because she didn't have any, but because she was so beautiful. She had guys walking up to her and saying, "Here, this is a modeling agency, you know, give us a call," and stuff like that. But she was very shy and she was not interested in that. But she was a very good secretary. And so they may have hired her because she was lovely, but they kept her because she could do the job. Whereas my dad, when he finally got out of high school, I think he had to repeat one the last year. He was 17 and he went to one of the big railroads in Canada, and applied and got a job. I believe he started off as an office messenger, which is how they start you off there, unless you're out on the line. But he was not out on the line. He was in the office. And he worked his way up, and he spent 40 years there working. So that worked out for him. Now, how they met was interesting.
They spent 40 years there before they screwed him by forcing an early retirement.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they've been doing that ever since, up to and including two of my brothers who actually were glad to leave at that point. So anyway, so they met because, as R. Paul mentioned before, in the Catholic Church, they really don't want you to be having sex before marriage. And so they like to keep the young folk busy. You keep them busy. What do you have them do? You have the youth choir. You have dramatics. You have a dramatic club. And one of the priests, he started a dramatic club when they would do serious plays and musicals and reviews. And my mom was part of that. And my dad, even though they went to different parishes, I guess they had mutual friends, and he went because he loved doing shows. He had been doing pantomime since he was, is that what you call it? Where you lip sync?
I guess.
Anyway.
Lip syncing, that's
yes,
all.
Yes, lip syncing since he was, you know, 17. So they both ended up in the same society, and that's how they met. And they started going out. And my mom said she knew that he was different than the other guy she had dated because she came home from work one day. Back then, you worked in a bank. The bank stayed open 5.5 days a week. Monday through Friday, and then Saturday morning. And then you got Saturday afternoon off. And she went into the house, and her grandma, who raised her, was sitting at the kitchen table with my dad, and they both had their heads together, and they were telling stories to each other. And she thought, hey, this guy, he cares. He cares about my family. I mean, this is interesting. This is good. So they got engaged, and that's when she learned that he wasn't old enough to get married yet, because his mom had to sign some papers for him because he hadn't turned 21. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm marrying a child. But he's 3 years younger than she is. Don't tell anyone. So they got engaged and they were making plans. They paid for the wedding themselves. I believe at the time my mother had a bigger salary than my dad because, you know, she'd been working longer. And it was a good job for a young woman.
An executive secretary probably would have a bigger salary than some guy who's, I don't know, was he pushing paper in a railroad office or something?
Well, he was working his way up. You know, by then he was 20, so he'd been there a couple of years. He'd been there 3 years. So everything was meticulously planned. They had a kind of a big wedding, not gigantic, but they had... Both had big extended families and lots of friends. They both were very popular. My mom, though she was shy, she had lots of friends. My dad, he's like Mr. Party. He's very gregarious and, you know, he just loves being around people and talking to people and talking to strangers even unto this day. So my mom had a beautiful gown made. And you get there 2 weeks before the wedding. The gown hasn't shown up yet. She calls the seamstress, says, where's my gown? Oh, it'll be there. The week goes by. Gown still isn't there. Well, we get to the eve of the wedding, and the gown is not there, and my mother does not have another dress suitable to wear for a big wedding. And she's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So that night, she's out in the front sidewalk of their flat, and her Aunt Mabel is out there, too. I knew Aunt Mabel. She was my grandpa's sister. And Aunt Mabel's walking up and down the sidewalk. Where's the gown? Midnight comes. The gown arrives. The seamstress had a lot of apologies and sort of like nervous explanation. I think at that point they did not care. They were just glad that gown was there and she was able to wear it at her wedding the next day. Anyway, 70 years ago, my parents got married, and they celebrated. It's kind of unusual, you know, I still have my parents, and they've been married. You cannot find a 70th anniversary card, I'll tell you that much. I mean, geez.
Not a lot of call for those.
Well, it goes up to 50, and then I couldn't find anything higher than that. So.
Well, get a 50 and a 20 and put them together.
I didn't think of that. Anyway, that's the story of my mom and dad and their 70th wedding anniversary.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Well, of course, it's LGBT plus infinity Pride Month, and I'm part of the GB in LGBT plus. It's very meaningful for me, and I'm obviously not marching again this year. I have not been able to. Well, the first time I didn't march there was in recent years is 2020 because of the pandemic, and then the next year sort of the same thing. But also, what's happened is the pandemic has not been kind to me, and I haven't gotten enough exercise walking around, and I'm in pretty bad shape right now, people. And I don't think I could walk that far in the march. And I certainly couldn't stand around waiting for my contingent to begin going into the march. So, yeah, I'm going to have to skip it again this year, which is unfortunate. I was at the first one, and I missed the third. But between 1970 and 2020, I did 49 of the 50 years, okay? So now it's every year I'm not going there, and now I'm not going there, not because of concerns about the pandemic, but because of concerns about I can't walk. I can't stand around for very long. Oh, I am such a mess. So we're not going to do that. One thing that happened this past week, Pickles was watching a PBS documentary. And the documentary was on disco. I'm not watching this because I don't care about disco. But she switches around the TV. And it's a PBS documentary called Disco, Soundtrack of a Revolution. And part one is Rock the Boat. And we're looking at it. And, you know, she's looking at it and she says, oh, they have something in the firehouse. So we said, oh, okay, I'll listen to that part. I'm busy doing something else. And so she turned on the sound for that part. And we're looking at it. So, oh, there's a firehouse. Oh, yeah, there's the mural. I know all of that. I was in the firehouse all the time. And then we see, and there's a picture of this guy with a microphone talking. And I look at it and I say, that's me. And we both sort of said the same thing at the same time because we recognize it. Because at first, my head is turned mostly away, so you can't tell. You just see this guy with rather long sideburns, and he's got a microphone, and he's saying something or other. I'm probably talking about police stuff because I was the chair of the Police Power Committee of the Gay Activists Alliance. And so I'm giving this speech, and yeah, there are, there's this extremely short video. What is it, like 5 seconds? Something like that. And there I am. So it was quite a surprise to see me in the 70s. It would have been the mid 70s. And I'm speaking and saying what the hell's going on and all of this stuff. So probably 1972. I would say it would. The second half of 71 or all of 72, that whole time, it's a year and a half it could have been in, but it was quite the surprise.
I got to hear your voice from 1972.
Yeah, so there I am. And yes, I don't know if they're going to do anything else about stuff, because he did this about the GAA firehouse, Gay Activist Alliance firehouse that I was a part of. Yeah, so that was something in there. And oh, well, I guess I'm not totally forgotten. Oh, it's the WBAI pitching train on our program again. Yes, it's a WBAI pitching train. Do you hear anything else? It's the pitching hobos on the pitching train playing the pitching harmonica. And, yes, we are the Pitching Hobos. We're here to ask you to support this radio station. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and the program is back of the book, and my name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and we are asking you to support WBAI financially. WBAI is listener-sponsored non-commercial. That means we are not really running commercials on the air. We're getting sponsorships for things, it seems, but we're not running actual commercials on the air. And the main way we have to get money, which we need, is to ask you, the listeners, to send it to us. BAI has a lot of bills. We're behind in our bills. We're way behind in our bills. We still owe the people at the transmitter site a lot of money, and they, you know, they could switch us off at any time. Luckily, they've been nice and haven't done so. We made a partial payment last month, but we're still way in deep to them in debt. And others are in debt, too. We are asking you to call 1-212-209-2950, and you'll be getting someone, if you get anybody, you'll be getting someone who will pick up the phone, and you should tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Be sure you say Back of the Book, because most of the people who are handling the phones are going to be listeners. Most of the listeners have never heard of this radio program. Please make sure you impress upon them to give us credit for that. 1-212-209-2950. Now, if you call at this point when you're hearing this being broadcast, I don't know if anybody's going to be there at 5:45 in the morning or whatever the hell time this is, even though it's bright sunlight out right now. What we are then asking you to do is go to WBAI.org, a website. And when you get to WBAI.org, we're asking you to become a BAI buddy there. When you get to WBAI.org, look for an image of a dove with the words BAI buddy, become a sustaining member on it. And click on that, and you'll be brought to another web page where you can become a BAI buddy. But you must remember to click on select your favorite show when you get there, and then please choose back of the book from the drop-down list. Yeah, we need to raise the money. BAI, you know, we used to have a call center. Well, they're not servicing us anymore because we haven't been able to pay the bill. We owe them like $92,000. And so, yeah, we're not paying that too soon. So they said, look, you go do your own. So they were kind enough to basically port the number over. So when you call 1-212-209-2950, the number first call goes to that number, which is with the call center, and then it's trunked over to a phone number at WBAI at 388 Atlantic Avenue. 1-212-209-2950 will get a call into there. And when you get the call into there, say you want to become a BAI buddy, and you can tell them how much, you give them your credit card or debit card information, you tell them how much money you want to donate on a monthly basis, and what day of the month you want to be charged. Now you can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, or more per month if you want to, but I think 10 to 20 bucks is pretty much what this crowd can handle. And so you, except there are some other folks who have handled much more than that. I mean, Seth has done that, Tony has done that, Bettina has done that, David has done that, and we thank them all for donating. You can also do a one-time donation and say, I just want to donate X amount of money right now. Give a credit card information, and that'll work. And so, yes, that's what we need for people to do. And again, I think probably if you're going to do this while you're listening at 5 to 6 in the morning, probably BAI.org is the place to go. That's where to go right now. And this helps us because management, we got new management, and they're saying, okay, we got to change a lot of things here. And they're going to look around and see what is making money and what isn't making money. What has listeners, what doesn't have listeners? And they're going to look at us, and they're going to say, huh, you know, is it a coincidence that we are bracketed by hours of music programming? Uh-oh, maybe we don't fit in. So we need you to call 1-212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org and click on the black dove on a green background that says BAI buddy, become a sustaining member. And I think you can also make a one-time donation there. And in either case, make sure that everybody knows that BAI is the show you're pledging to. 1-212-209-2950 or WBAI.org. Now, we're doing programming here that you don't generally get elsewhere, and all of BAI does that, but we do it especially. We get in here and we say, you know, if you will listen to us, we will tell you about our lives, because this is supposed to be freeform live radio, but we're not live anymore because of the pandemic and et cetera. But we're doing these programs, and we put them together, and we ship them up, and they air them hours later on WBAI, mostly because there's nobody at BAI doing the job between midnight and 6. So we have to do it that way. And, you know, we talk about gay stuff. I talk about my life and what I've done in the past, and I remember things that we did with the Gay Activist Alliance. I was in the Gay Activist Alliance longer than anybody else was. Somehow I don't get a pension for that. I don't know. It's just I won't get a pension from BAI either, and who knows how long we'll last here. But anyway, we're asking you to donate. We need folks to donate and become BAI buddies by calling 1-212-209-2950 or going to WBAI.org and clicking on the way too small icon of a dove, a black dove on a green background, and pledging that way. We need you to do that. All of BAI needs it because we got to pay these bills. We have, you know, pretty big electric bills because we're a radio station. We have to pay rent at 388 Atlantic Avenue, and there are other bills we have to pay. And we can't pay them quite right. Now, the workers have to get paid. Legally, that's your first responsibility. Management tried not paying them on time some years ago, and somebody called the NLRB, and the federal government people came in and said, oh no, you can't do that. If you can't pay them, you gotta let them go. And so in 2019, 75% of WBAI's paid staff was cut. So we were running on a skeleton crew then. Now we're running on, you know, broken bones. Are they going to cut more? Some of them seem to want to. Some of the people in Pacifica seem to want to cut more. I don't know where they're going to do it, except, of course, we no longer have a general manager and a program director. And, you know, I guess they're saving money that way. 1-212-209-2950 or WBAI.org. Now, the other thing we keep bringing up is this is a late-night, overnight radio program. And yes, right now the sun is out, as you're hearing me, but we go, you know, this late night is from midnight to 6 a.m. Now, as I've noted, there are proposals to just sell BAI's air from midnight to 6 a.m. There are other radio stations, small radio stations, maybe radio stations in other parts of the country or even other parts of the world, and other people who would like to get 6 hours, 7 days a week in the New York City market. The New York City market is gold. And WBAI is in the commercial band. We could, on theory at least, rent out midnight to 6 a.m., and it would be commercial. And who the hell knows what somebody might do in that space. But you sure as hell wouldn't have these unusual overnight radio programs that you get on WBAI now and have gotten on WBAI for the past 60-odd years. 1-212-209-2950 or WBAI.org. Please try either one of those. And if that happens, we're gone, and so are all those other programs. So there's a big threat here to the overnight programming, which Robert Knight, the late Robert Knight, who used to do some late night shows, he used to say the overnights are the Amazon rainforest of WBAI because a lot of stuff comes out of there, even though you may not notice it. A great deal of fundamental stuff comes out of the midnight to 6 a.m. time slots. We hope we're, you know, contributing to that lot of stuff that has an influence. But the deal is, if we go, we go. And that's going to be the end of it. So, really, we need you to call 1-212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org and click on that black dove on the green background. And I got to say, this new way of pitching is difficult because I'm so used to pitching just a phone number. But, oh, boy, I keep... That keeps rolling into my head to just, you know, do the phone number more. But I don't know if the phone number is even going to work at this hour. So WBAI.org and look for that dove on a green background. And please, please donate. You can do a one-time donation or you can become a BAI buddy for $10 a month, $15 a month, or $20 a month. Please call the number or you can call it later on. Just make sure you tell them what show you want to pledge for. And if you do the do it by BAI.org, you will need to click on a drop-down menu to show that it's back of the book. And please do that, because BAI could go away if you don't. That has been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, again with Mr. David Kenny.
Again, again. All right. We hope we're back here next week, and we're going to do significantly more on gay liberation stuff at that point in time. We hope. We hope we're here next week. And we're also going to see what else we can do. All right. Take care of yourselves. If you need to drink some extra water, do it. If you need to go to a cooling center, do it. And above all, remember what that wishing he could march again Dormouse said.
Time we can all be together.
Reverend Dr. William Barber.
We are here to announce on June the 29th at 10 o'clock on Pennsylvania and 3rd, we are calling for the Mass Poor People's Low Wage Workers Assembly and Moral March on Washington and to the polls, June 29th, 2024. We're saying the last picture of D.C. ought not be people tearing the Capitol up and trying to tear democracy down. We need a picture of folk trying to build a democracy up and lift up all people, regardless of who they are. June the 29th on Pennsylvania and 3rd.
Snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
Hi, I'm Michael G. Haskins, your host and radio guide weekday mornings on WBAI 99.5 FM. During our fundraising and membership drive, the program is the premium. That's right. The program is the premium.
As part of the Pacifica Foundation, WBAI is holding elections for delegates for the local station board. The board has a significant impact on the station. To run or vote, you must be a member through a contribution of at least $25 between July 1st, 2023 and June 30th, 2024. If management verified that you volunteered 3 hours during that time, or if you received a hardship waiver from the board, you are also a member. Check your records or write to membership@WBAI.org. That's membership@WBAI.org. WBAI needs your financial support and your participation. Remember, the qualifying dates are July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024. Election details are at elections.wbai.org. elections.pacifica.org/menu. That's elections.pacifica.org/menu.
Hi, everybody. I'm Harriet Cole, host of Dreamweavers. I hope you've been checking out my show. I bring some amazing guests on who have new books, new projects, new music. Something to remind us how great life is and how they are pursuing their dreams, and you too should pursue your own. We have a new time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Starting in June, every Saturday morning at 11 a.m., you can tune into Dream Leapers. I promise you, there will be a creative, a dynamic, amazing person who will talk to us about how he or she is pursuing their dreams and how you can too. So please join us here on WBAI. And also, please become my BAI buddy. I need some buddies. Won't you be mine? Call us at 212-209-2950 and become my buddy now. And tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. to Dream Leapers with Harriet Cole.